Can be back there in the nosebleeds.
All right.
All right, good evening. It's glad to have you here. We'll start with number 779. Number 779. I love you, Lord. Sorry, you got. Oh, worship the King. And defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilion in splendor and girded with praise. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. We'll sing Have Thine Own Way, and then we'll be led in our opening prayer. Have Thine Own Way. Have Thine Own Way, Lord, have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always,
living in me.
Would you bow with me as we pray together? Holy and wonderful Father in heaven, we do bow down before you, giving you glory and honor and praising you as our Creator and the Almighty. We are thankful, Father, for the many ways that you bless us. We thank you, Father, for our time to be together, that we might share fellowship, that we might join in songs and hymns to give praises to you. Pray, Father, that our worship would be indeed to your glory. Father, we are thankful for your Spirit. We're thankful, Father, for your Bible, your Word. Thankful that we can find comfort and direction as we read the Bible. Help us, Father, to be willing, ready, and anxious to share the good news of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Help us, Father, to be of good encouragement and support for those who may be struggling. For indeed, Father, we are at all times needful of your guidance. Father, we want to thank you for allowing us to come to you through prayer. Father, we pray as we study and meditate this evening on what a great blessing prayer is to us and how we might utilize it to better serve you and be more equipped. We are thankful, Father, that you allow us this avenue of prayer. Father, we pray that your Spirit would dwell in us and that it would guide us, that we would be good examples in this world. Father, we pray your blessings on all of those that we're thinking about and praying for that are in need of special blessings, those who are suffering with illnesses and other medical maladies, those who are suffering with bereavement, and those who are feeling lonely and lost. Help us, Father, to do those things we can to encourage them. Pray, Father, you would be with Tim this evening as he shares with us this message from your word. Help us, Father, to leave here more ready to serve in your kingdom. Father, we thank you for the hope of eternal life. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Our song before the lesson this evening will be number 827, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Give me the numbers again, just a habit. If you would stand if it's convenient for you.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes. With such I hasten to the place where God, my Savior, shows his face, and gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer.
Please be seated. Our song of encouragement this evening after the lesson will be, "Oh, Why Not Tonight?" Oh, Why Not Tonight?
There will be no Bible story time tonight, so keep that in mind. Our scripture reading is from Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, give him a stone? Or he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?
Technical malfunction. That's why I carry my paper notes with me. Good to see everybody. Hope you're feeling well this evening. This is a very good turnout. I think we're doing even better than last week. Last week was a very good turnout, but now we got the campers back with us, and we're so happy. We've got some who are visiting with us, and we're very glad that you have come our way, and hope we'll be able to share with you some things that will help you as you try to draw closer to God. And we even have some four-legged visitors with us tonight. I've seen a couple of them with us, and hopefully they'll not bark so much. But oh, thank you.
Sorry.
Mic drop. Thank you, Josh. I appreciate that. But we are glad you're with us tonight. It's turned out to be a nice evening, a little bit warm, but hey, it's summertime, so it's to be expected. And we got people in every direction, so very thankful that you have joined us this evening. And let's get into the Word of God. As a grandfather, I love getting texts from our children, and now getting them from our grandchildren, some of them. And one particularly, really made me happy when I saw it. It was a text with a video in it, and it was our youngest grandson, who is 7 years old now, and he was swimming. I mean, he had been afraid to get his face in the water about a little more than a year ago, and now here he is swimming. And I think that makes all five of them. I feel very sure of that, that all five of them now can swim. And that gives me peace of mind, because I know that if anything should happen, they unexpectedly fall off the pier or something like that, then they've got a good chance at getting out of the water and surviving that. But sometimes things happen in our lives as Christians in which we feel overwhelmed and we're wondering, what can I do to get out of this? We're floundering. We feel as if we're drowning in the ocean. Is there anything in the Christian's toolkit that will help us in such circumstances? And of course, we know there is, and we're talking about prayer. This morning, we talked about the idea of prayer, and we looked at the why and the who about prayer. And tonight, we're going to continue that by asking what and when. And we're talking about very basic ideas. This is probably not new to anybody here, but it never hurts to have some refreshers on the course, because we need to know, how can we pray more effectively? How can we draw closer to God in our prayers? In Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, the disciples of Jesus asked him, said, let's just look at that. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, we're told there. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. Can you imagine watching and listening to Jesus pray? That must have been something. And no wonder they ask him, you know, can you teach us to pray? And of course, that's when Jesus gave what we saw this morning in Matthew chapter 6, what has popularly been called the Lord's Prayer. I think it's better looked at as the model prayer, but nonetheless, it's kind of a template for how we go about praying. So if we're serious about our discipleship, and I trust we are, yeah, we'd like to know more about prayer. We want to make sure we understand, and let's refresh our minds on what the scriptures teach about this subject. We'll begin by asking the question, what? What should I say when I pray? What should I say when I pray? When somebody's asked to lead a public prayer, of course, in our worship services, that's men, but at our ladies' days and other ladies' events, that will be women. And somebody might say, well, I don't know what to say. If they've not done it before, they may hesitate. They may say, I really don't know what to say. And so that may be a good time to write down a prayer. Just write it out. And if you need to, read it. But you know, that applies also sometimes to our personal prayers. I suspect there are some that would say, well, I really don't know what to say when I pray. I just, you know, make an attempt, but I don't really feel good about it. Does the Bible give us any help on that? And in fact, we do get help from the Bible. The Bible shares with us many things about what to pray for. And we're not going to hit all of the points this evening, but we'll just suggest some things as we look at this idea. We'll start out in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. And this is that model prayer that we've already referenced. And let's listen to it again. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew's account. Pray then like this. Jesus said, here is how you should pray, like this. And he said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And if you're looking at the King James or the New King James, it goes on in verse 13 by saying, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Those are not found in some of the oldest manuscripts, but they're very familiar to us. Now, some have suggested there's an acrostic we could use that would help us to grab some of the major categories here. And that's what I want to share with you right now, an acrostic. And the acrostic is the word ACTS, A-C-T-S, like the book of Acts. And each of those letters stands for one of the categories of things for which to pray. For example, A, adoration. Adoration is something that should be in our prayers, I think. And probably every time we pray, it's something I do every time I pray, and I think it really helps my prayers. Now, what does that mean? Well, adoration is a form of the word adore. And we're putting our focus on God, on Jesus Christ, and if we know who they are based on what is revealed in the Word of God, we adore them. And that's what Jesus says there, our Father in heaven. You're not on earth. You are in heaven. And holy or hallowed be your name. And the idea is God is not like us. God is above us and yet here with us. But God is so much higher than we are. And no wonder we say, holy is your name. And so what do we say when we pray? Well, I think praise is always suitable for prayer. To begin with, to end with, anytime throughout the prayer, say it. I mean, God already knows who he is, but do we? And when we include that in our prayers, it reinforces on our minds, this is who we're praying to. And then the word Acts also has the letter C, A-C-T-S, and C stands for confession. Now, we're not taking this in the order in which Jesus gave the prayer, but confession. And did you see there where he said, forgive us our sins, our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors? And there again, that's important for us to remember that we depend on God for his mercy. We are not perfect, far from it. We always stand in need of his forgiveness. And so in our prayers, we confess, Lord, we are in great need of your mercy. And what a great thing to include in every prayer. And it also reminds us, as Jesus said, that we've got to be that kind of person as well. If we want to be forgiven by God, we have to be the kind of people that forgive others who have wronged us. And so confession is part of the prayer. And then again, in the word Acts, there is the letter T, and that is the idea of thanksgiving. Now, this is more implied than explicit in Jesus' model prayer. He doesn't actually say, give thanks in your prayer, but it is implied. Because there's certain things we're told to ask for example, that God's will might be done on earth, and that suggests that God's will can be done and is being done by many on earth. Is that not a reason to give thanks? And also when he says to give us our daily bread, that's a way of saying, you have given it in the past. We depend on you, Lord, to continue giving it. Now, I dare say that all of us here this evening have more than the day's worth of food in our houses and in our apartments or wherever we live. Most of us are not food insecure, although that is a fact of many in our community. And so we might say, well, you know, I don't really need to pray that. Oh, yes, we do. Because we're reminding ourselves that God is the source of everything that we need. And so, Lord, we depend on you to give us what we need, our daily bread. And that would include our clothing, our housing, whatever it is that we depend on in order to make our living on earth. That, again, is a blessing that we have. And then God's deliverance and God's forgiveness. Those are things that we need, and they've been there for us in the past. So we're thanking God. And a person who is not thanking God really doesn't know God, and they don't know their own limitations. And so the final letter, S, in that word Acts, is for supplication. And we've actually already mentioned the things that are in the prayer, but look at them again. We're praying, Lord, let your kingdom come. And the kingdom has come in the sense that the church is the kingdom on earth, but in the sense that there's still a lot that needs to be done. There's still a lot of places on earth and even in our own lives where God's will is not being done. We're praying for that. Lord, let it be. May your will be done everywhere. And then also that idea about bread, give us our daily bread. Again, we've talked about that. Forgiveness, we need it regularly. We're not above omitting things that we should be doing or doing things we shouldn't be doing. And so, Lord, be merciful to us and deliver us from evil. And have you noticed there that there's a balance or maybe even a greater leaning toward the spiritual blessings than the material? The prayer that is properly prayed focuses as much on the spiritual needs as it does on the physical needs, because that's where we're going to be throughout eternity, and we need to be getting it right here on earth. That's who we are to be on earth. And so this model prayer gives us a lot of information about what to say as we go to God in prayer. But let's also go to Matthew chapter 7 now, the passage that was read for us a few moments ago, Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Donnie read this for us. And the reason I want us to look at this is, well, does it, you know, really, does it do any good to pray? And listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. And you've probably heard it said that in the Greek, this is the present tense, which also has the continuing action element involved. And so you could translate this as, keep on asking. Keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And you see, the basis of our confidence in prayer is we're praying to a heavenly Father. We try to do good things to our children, to our grandchildren. We want to do the best we can for them. Isn't God going to do so much more than we do? And so let's not be hesitant to go to God, because God is our heavenly Father. He cares about us. He will give good things to those who ask. And on that last point, let me remind you of something we mentioned this morning in James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 2, the latter part of verse 2, where James says, you do not have because you do not ask. What do we ask for? What do we say when we pray? Well, what do we need? I mean, really, what do we need? Have we asked for it? And James says, you may not have it because you haven't asked for it. There immediately is a clue as to what we ought to be asking for. But then James goes on in verse 3 and gives another point to this idea of praying. He said, you ask and do not receive. You're asking, but now you're not receiving. Why not? Because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So if you're asking the Lord, you know, for money to go out and do something sinful, I wouldn't wait for an answer from God on that. He's already made that clear in his word. And so let's look at what we're asking for and say, is that something I need? Well, maybe we're not sure. We just put it in God's hand and we say, let your will be done, Father, not mine. You know what is best for me. And then Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, again on the idea of what do we say in our prayers. Here, Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer. And again, that speaks about the when that we are going to talk about. But continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Now, that's talking about the spiritual dimension. That's really got nothing to do with our physical lives. But you see, our prayers are a key to living successfully spiritually. And so, again, let's look at our prayers and ask, what am I saying in my prayers that shows I know how vulnerable I am and how much I need God's help and protection? And let me mention Romans 8, because still there may be people nervous about, you know, well, I really don't know what to say when I pray. Look at Romans 8, verses 26 and 27, because this ought to be of great comfort to any Christian. I know it is to me. Romans 8, 26 and 27, Paul said, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. Look at that. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So you're not comfortable with what you say when you pray? That shouldn't keep you from praying, because God has given us a helper to help us in our prayers. What a blessing. Prayer is such a blessing. And God wants us to come to him. He is our Father. Which of us as parents would say, well, I don't want my kids coming to me and talking to me? Well, you got some problems there if that's the case. Most of us would say, come, let's talk about this. You got a problem? I want to help you with it. That's how God is with us. So be honest with God. Bare your heart. He can handle it. Let God know what is in your heart. But now let's look at that fourth element of prayers that we're looking at in this series, and that is when. When should I pray? I don't know about you, but when I was being raised as a young boy, I was taught, well, you always say grace or prayers before you eat. And then at bedtime, you want to say your prayers, and we can all probably recite that familiar rhyme that we learned, now I lay me down to sleep, but I'm not going to start that because you'll go to sleep on me. But, you know, bedtime, mealtime, those are good times to pray. But is that it? Does that cover it? Well, it might, but it might not. Let's see what the Bible says on that idea about the frequency of our prayers. Let's begin with Jesus. I mean, after all, we've said, Lord, teach us to pray. We want to know how to pray like you pray. So let's go to Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. I know I'm not telling you anything new with these verses, but let's remind ourselves. This is Jesus. This is early in his ministry. And Mark tells us this in Mark 1 verse 35. Jesus, rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. How many times have we gotten up before dawn to pray? I mean, gotten up early for the express purpose of praying. Sometimes I stay up later than I should, and of course I pray, but is it that important to me? Do I really see the need to get up early and pray to God? Jesus did. And then again, looking at Jesus, look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Luke 6 and verse 12. Tell me that Jesus didn't depend on prayer. We're told there in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, in these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. All night. Now, it goes on to tell us that the next day he chose the 12 that would be his apostles. And of course, that was a very important point in his ministry, very important selections. But Jesus saw the need to depend on God. And he said, I need to pray. I need to really commit myself to it. And so this and other examples, and if you've read through the Gospels, as I know you have, you know that Jesus depended on prayer frequently throughout his life on earth. It was something he had to have and did have. Can we say that's our habit? Are we becoming more like Jesus in that respect? Well, let's look at another example of prayer, and that's in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. You may have already thought about this. Daniel was a court official in the Persian Empire, and yet there were those that were very jealous of him and wanted to bring him down, and so they had the king sign a law that said nobody for 30 days can pray to anyone else other than the emperor. And the emperor signed it not knowing it was a trap they had set for Daniel. And Daniel, knowing that his activity would be outlawed, he would be a criminal if he were caught praying, didn't change a thing. Listen to what it says in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. There was no difference. He kept the window open. He could have shut the window. I mean, God would have heard him still. But that's not been the way he's done it before. He wants people to know he is a man of prayer, praying to the God of Israel. So he continues, for that he is thrown into the lion's den, and you know the outcome of that. He survived the night and was shown to be very pleasing to God. And so these examples show us that prayer is something that great spiritual giants have made a part of their lives, a regular part of their lives, frequent part of their lives. And as we saw this morning, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, did you memorize that verse with me? Pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Keep on praying. Now, does that mean that we pray at every moment of every day? I mean, you know, when you're trying to eat breakfast, you're trying to say a prayer while you're eating breakfast, or while you're giving a presentation at work, you're trying to work in a prayer there too. That's not the idea. In fact, let me share with you David Williams' comments on this. He said, this means, quote, live always in the spirit of prayer. Prayer acknowledges our utter dependence upon God and the utter dependability of God in all circumstances. And so always be ready to go to God in prayer. You're driving down the road and somebody's crossed over into your lane. Do you take a moment to pray? Well, you can do that without closing your eyes. That's advisable. And if it is an important decision, somebody's come to you for an opinion on something, you can pray briefly for guidance in what you say. In other words, pray without ceasing. It is to be a frequent part of the Christian's life. I love how Martin Luther compared prayer to something we all know about. He said to be a Christian without prayer, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. How long can you hold your breath? Let's not try it right now. But most of us would say, well, a minute maybe. 2 minutes? I don't know, but I got to breathe. Yeah, and if your soul is going to survive and thrive, you got to pray. And not just limit it to a few brief periods here and there. It needs to be a daily part of our lives. After all, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we're told by Luke, those first Christians, the ones who heard Peter on the day of Pentecost and who responded, what did they do? He said in Acts 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves to what? To the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They devoted themselves to it. Let's ask ourselves, am I devoted to prayer? Is that something that I can see as a regular part of my life, a frequent part of my life? And if not, it's time to change. One final passage I'll share with you is Isaiah 26. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. I love this passage. I think you do too. And let's think about it. It doesn't say anything about prayer, and yet I think it does. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. He says, you keep him in perfect peace. Oh, who are we talking about? Perfect peace? I'd like to have some of that. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. So the person whose mind is stayed on God, S-T-A-Y-E-D, it stays right there. That person's going to have perfect peace. Now, how can we do that? How can we make our minds stay on God? I suggest prayer is a big part of that. I think reading God's word is another big part of it. But if we're only occasionally in prayer and only occasionally in the word of God, can we say our minds are stayed on the Lord? If we stop breathing, life is soon going to exit the physical body. If we stop praying, the life of our souls is going to be in serious danger. So prayer, 101. What? When? God has given us guidance. Let's think about these things and make changes where they need to be made. The first change you may need to make is to become a Christian, to obey the gospel of Christ. We mentioned the day of Pentecost earlier in Acts chapter 2. People there heard the gospel proclaimed for the first time, and many of them were pricked in their hearts. They were convicted of the truth, and they cried out, men and brethren, what do we do? And Peter, who was speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Nothing has changed. That's still God's answer to those who wonder, what do I need to do in order to be forgiven of my sins? And if that's something you need tonight, we'd love to help you with that. And if you have done those things, and if you are a Christian, and yet your life is much more fashioned after the world than it is around Christ, you need to change. Whatever it is you need to change, I suggest let's do it. If it means asking for prayers, you're among friends. No, you're among family. We care about you. We're going to pray with you. We're going to encourage you. Whatever we can do, we want to do it. But it all begins with you letting us know how we can help as we stand together and sing.
Oh, do not let the word depart, and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not thy heart, be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight? Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time, oh, then be wise, be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Our blessed Lord refuses none who would to him their souls unite. Believe, obey, the work is done. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight?
Please be seated. If you are unable to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, it still remains prepared for us, and we'll observe it at this time. If you need a communion set, please raise your hand and one will be brought to you. We'll sing "Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed." We'll sing the first and the last verse.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a one as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, And now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Scripture reading for the Lord's Supper will come from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. For I have received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Let's give thanks for the bread. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that your Son was willing to make the sacrifice, that he was willing to give his body, that it could be broken for our sins. Pray for these Heavenly Fathers as they partake of this, which represents that body, that they'll do so in a manner that's pleasing to your sight. In your Son Jesus' name, amen. Pray again. Heavenly Father, now as we give thanks for that precious blood of your Son that was shed, that was the only thing that could cover our sins and keep providing that cleansing for us as Christians. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that he was willing to make that sacrifice for us. Pray for these Heavenly Fathers as they partake of this cup, that they'll do so in a manner that's uplifting to them and pleasing to your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. This time, scripture reading covering the collection for the saints will come from 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the blessings that you have blessed us with. We know it's not possible to number them. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for one of those blessings in which we can go out and earn a living. As we return a portion of that monetary blessing to you, I pray, Heavenly Father, that your wisdom would be upon those whose duty it is to use that money in a way that will build your kingdom the most. In your Son Jesus' name, amen.
I don't often think about how many new congregations are established each day anywhere in the world. This morning in our Bible study upstairs, I had not turned off my phone. I heard a pinging noise. I turned it off. And then later was able to see 14 or 15 pictures from Ephraim Mbano, the man where I went in Malawi. And a new congregation had been established after about 3 days of campaigning. He didn't say exactly how many people. He mentioned a total of 15. Now, how many were already Christians, I don't know. But certainly something to rejoice about, and certainly one gets the idea more days of campaigning would go on. But one is grateful then that their hearts open to the truth there. Bow with me. Father, we're grateful that we've had this opportunity to be together. Grateful for the weather that we've enjoyed. Thank you, Father, for Tim and his ability to proclaim your will. Grateful for others that can get in the pulpit and teach and preach from time to time. Again, grateful for the variety of Bible classes that we have and those that teach our classes. Pray that more of us would take advantage of these things that, and realize, of course, with COVID, and realize there are certainly conditions that I don't know about, probably you don't either, about certain individuals and whether they can get out or not. But thank you, Father, for your word being proclaimed in many parts of the world. Certainly pray again that we can encourage others, we can strengthen others that are already Christians. But be with us as we separate this time, in Jesus' name, amen. I don't have any other announcements.